time for the pool party today. A very interesting topic Dan has prepared for us. Now, we probably should tell everybody. Sometimes it's a little difficult for us to keep up with everything going on in foreign ports. This may be an old story to some because it did happen some years back. And it's essentially in Houston, but there are a lot of people who may not know this, and it's just been brought to our attention. So
the reason being is because I think a lot more people are watching Ranger games, and there's a sponsor that you see on Ranger games probably in every break or every other break, and that would be the Brown Hand Center. Dr. Michael Glenn Brown, who is 53 years old, invented a procedure to assist in the relief from carpal tunnel syndrome some years back, and I believe he patented it, and very successful company, very successful surgery center. In 2002, his income was like $2.5 million a year. And you've seen the commercial. Let's play just the last 11 seconds of this spot. You know you've seen this for sure.
I personally trained the doctors in the Brown procedure. And the Brown Hand Center will care for you just as I care for my own family.
Daddy's baby girl.
I'm not kidding. I race for the mute button.
I won't. I change the channel.
Yeah, I'll change the channel.
I swear to God,
I can't handle it.
I will not. Well, and this is before I knew anything about it.
Right. This is before I knew anything about him because, number one, he's this bearded weirdo.
God, he's weird.
He's so creepy. He's got this wife who looks like she's had about 8 gallons of collagen shot up in her lips and giant boob job. Looks like she's about 20 years younger than him, and he has like 8 daughters of varying ages surrounding him. And right at the end, he is handed the little girl and sets her on his lap, and once she gets the cue, she says this.
Daddy's baby girl.
That's when vomit shoots out of my mouth and covers my house. So I already hate this guy. Well, I think he was mentioned on the air at one point a few weeks back, and somebody sent me an article. Well, I did a little investigating. And there's many articles on the crazy, seedy, evil life of this man. Let's start at the beginning.
Now, first off, I hear that woman on the commercial isn't even his wife.
Oh, they say she's an actress?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that stands to reason then. So let's get into this. In 1984, he divorced his first wife, Lisa Ruth Van Stone, after 3 years of marriage. He then remarried to Deborah Jaramillo after 7 years of marriage, divorced her at the cost of $2 million. Then he met his third wife, ironically enough, Darlena Hoffman, at a pool party.
Nice.
In 1993, when she was 20 years old, he 35.
Oh, no.
He took her on European vacations, Colorado ski trips, and an African safari.
Norm.
Wooed her.
The demographic.
He was very controlling up to the point where he told her he wanted her to quit his job. That was the first sign, she said. Now, all of this is court statement in a criminal case that was against him in 2002. A lot of the quotes that you'll hear from her. He offered her a prenup that would pay her, in case they did get divorced when they were negotiating getting married, that would buy her a vehicle, give her $100,000 flat cash, and $60,000 for every year of marriage.
Okay.
She accepted. They married in 1995. All right, right after the marriage, Dr. Brown forced her to quit her plans for college. She was only 22 at the time and made her carry a cell phone with her at all times so he could reach her immediately whenever he wanted.
Oh, a phone is ringing.
Also, according to Darlena, this is, quote, he wanted sex morning and night all the time. He was never happy unless he got sex. I would give him sex, but I didn't want to do it every day.
God, who does?
The doctor also had a wonderful fascination with firearms.
Oh, boy.
And as the relationship went on, this intensified. She says he had guns in his attic, guns in the bedroom, guns in his vehicle, pistols galore, big hunting rifles, and semi-automatic machine guns. According to Darlena, Brown habitually carried 2 permitted handguns and demanded that she carry a gun as well. She recalls that the only time he was unarmed was while he was in surgery. When they first began their relationship, she says he told her his second wife was trying to kill him, and he occasionally wore a bulletproof vest and hired police for home and office security.
This is in Houston.
This is all in Houston. Red flag city, if I'm Darlena at this
point. You think?
Mm-hmm. Now, during this time, the marriage was getting very rocky, and Darlena ended up having an affair with a 25-year-old man for about a year. She confessed all this to Michael. He requested a divorce, but they reconciled, which happens a lot in this story. And then they had a daughter, Sophie, in 1999.
Daddy's baby girl.
Not her. She wasn't invented yet. All right. In November of that year, Dr. Brown came home drunk, so she told him that she was taking their daughter and staying with her mother until he sobered up. This is what happened. She says, when I picked up Sophie, he lost it. To him, I was saying I was going to leave forever. He just started punching me, hitting my head up against the wood wall. Then he picked up Sophie. He was holding her with one hand and punching me in the head with the other. He put Sophie down on the floor, underfoot, and continued punching me. According to the wife, she stayed a virtual prisoner the rest of the night, sitting on the couch while Brown refused to let the daughter go. Now, he was arrested, and charges were placed against him, but through his longtime friend and attorney, a man named Rob Todd, he coerced and threatened Darlena to drop the charges. With Todd even doing so much as picking up Darlena to go to the courthouse, picking her up in his car, saying that if the doctor went to prison, he would lose his medical license and she would be left penniless. The doctor himself threatened to kill her if she pressed charges. She dropped the charges.
Jeez.
By September 2000, they were back together. And she was 4 months pregnant with their second child. Now, the police officer that was kind of overseeing this investigation said it was so obvious to him that she had been coerced, that she was threatened because she was bruised up, and her written statement to retract the fact that she wanted to press charges. There was nothing they could do, but right. He was just shaking his head going, I can't believe you're doing this. And they said that had it not been for that attorney, if they could have gotten her alone, then anything else that happened after this would not have happened because he would have been in prison.
What a miserable existence.
So one night...
It gets worse.
One night on a trip to Las Vegas, Brown said that he was going to go out to pick up some food. He showed back up to the hotel at 6:30 in the morning, drunk, pulled a knife on himself and held it to his throat, threatening to end it all. Darlena called her mother and Brown smashed the phone into a glass coffee table, then started sawing his fingers with the knife.
God.
They reconciled again.
How? What is wrong with people? By this point, she's going to collect like $600,000.
This is when it gets really juicy. I'm going to just read this straight up. During the last full year of the marriage, Michael Brown began making homemade videotapes that provide a window into his thoughts. The cassette segments found in his safe were shot using a propped up camera and occasional audio from a phone speaker. Most of the taping apparently was done during sporadic separations from his wife. Now, near the beginning, Brown offers a disclaimer in these homemade videotapes that this is a Hollywood movie script I'm practicing and has no basis in truth whatsoever. I'm not suicidal. If he intended a script, the narrative then becomes indistinguishable from his life in the near future. All right, in one sequence, Brown holds a bottle of whiskey and points a pistol to his head, all the while musing on the possibility of suicide as salvation from the hell he claims his wife has put him through. After speculating that repair work on an air conditioner was really a plot by his wife and mother-in-law to poison him with cyanide gas, Brown addresses his infant daughter, who is there in the video with him,
Daddy's baby girl,
warning her to fear her mother. Quote, I want to believe she's a good person, saying this to his daughter, but a little wayward. But in order to do that, I have to believe that she's stupid. Well, no, she's not stupid, but if you don't believe she's stupid, then she's doing these things. She's deceitful at best, and at worst, she's evil. You've got to get away from your mother. She's got a bond with her mother that has ruined my life, and she'll ruin yours, too. Your mother is making me hurt so much that it's like I'm even being burned, and the flames are all around me.
Huh.
Now, in a segment that he records a phone conversation with Darlena, Brown's voice is insistent as a petulant child as he chides his wife for failing to live up to biblical standards. The doctor quotes a passage, "You wives will submit to your husbands, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church." He pauses and then adds sarcastically, "Doesn't say anything good about your point ad infinitum. What's your response?" When Darlena asks whether Brown thinks he's treating her properly, he replies, Is that response on here? Nope. It doesn't say cross-examining your husband. Nope. I don't see that there. Well, like seemingly yeah. Reading his Bible. Brown warns his wife that she's not going to have any other man raising my babies. Says, the best I can do is beg you to come home and try to live a good kind of marriage. Now, do you want to try to come home and have a normal life or not? In a tired voice, she says, what are you talking about, Mike? It's not a normal life. Well, he says, get your baby, and come home, and be nice, and stop running to your mother, and learn how to say I'm sorry for the sake of the relationship. Incredibly enough, she came home.
Poor women.
Late at night in January of 2001, Darlena testified that Brown came home after visiting Rick's Topless Club in the Houston area.
Now we're talking.
He later offered the novel explanation that he'd run out of good wine at his home and went to Rick's to get some more good wine. Even though she was 7 months pregnant with their second daughter, the physician began slugging her in the face and clubbed her with a post he'd ripped off the bed. After he shoved her into a dining room coffee table, she told deputies she managed to break free and flee upstairs. She locked herself in the nanny's bedroom as Brown pursued her and fired several shots through the door. Between holding down the inner knob of the door to keep her husband at bay and making frantic calls to 911, Darlena says she prayed for her life and that of her unborn child. He was arrested and the case went to court. The verdict awarded Darlena $3.4 million in custody of their daughters, and it found that the doctor had committed violence against his spouse. Under the terms of the legal agreement, Brown can see his children only on supervised visitation in the presence of a social worker. He has appealed the verdict.
So that must be what the wife in the commercial is, the social worker.
It must be. Now, there was a divorce decree that happened after that. This was all criminal. Darlena received over $5 million in a divorce suit, along with child support payments. Now, with jail time, the doctor would not be able to make a living, so both agreed he would plead out and receive deferred adjudication. He did not go to jail.
Because she wanted her money?
She wanted the money for the kids. She wanted the money for the kids. And for herself, I'm sure, becoming a... I'm not saying this come on. All right, in 2002... he remarried. This is just a few months after all of this happened, to a woman named Rachel Spaniel, 30, he 45 at this time, in Las Vegas. Less than a year later, Rachel and Brown had a daughter of their own. So he knocked her up. So he's just got nothing but daughters. In 2003, Houston police received a call from Rachel that Dr. Brown was threatening to kill her. Police investigated, no charges were pressed, but a few weeks later, Rachel filed for divorce. A few weeks after that, she retracted it. 2 years later, he files for bankruptcy in the Southern District of Texas. Among his listed creditors is the IRS, which claims he owes around $500,000 in back taxes. In October of 2005, Dr. Brown submitted a hair specimen for drug testing per his probation agreement. It was found positive for cocaine by two toxicology reports.
Wow.
In 2006, the Texas Medical Board revoked his medical license, barring him from practicing medicine in the state of Texas. According to his website, he subsequently retired. Later that year, Rachel, his wife, sought a protective order against him. In an affidavit attached to her motion, she said that Brown had a history of violence against her from 2004 to 2006, in which Brown allegedly assaulted me, spit on me, pulled my hair, and degraded me in front of the children. Her affidavit also states that after one of these incidents, while she was 9 months pregnant, again, she grabbed a video camera to document the bruises. He allegedly gripped the camera out of her hands and demolished it. She also alleged that Brown abandoned me and our children on the day she gave birth to their son in September of 2006. Eventually, the couple reconciled, and Brown went on to give an affidavit where he stated, "The children are happy and comfortable at my home. They are very attached to me." And that's the last we've heard.
That's who we see every night on TV.
That's the guy.
Yes.
That is Dr. Brown. That is Dr. Michael Glenn Brown of the Brown Hand Center in Houston.
Now, he can't practice, right?
He cannot practice medicine. I believe he can instruct his crew of surgeons. Now, he doesn't say he does the procedure. He says that all of the surgeons on my staff are trained by me. So, no, he cannot operate on anybody.
I can't believe anybody takes this guy's money. I'm not blaming the Rangers because I know what the economy's like. And if he pays, he pays. You know?
Right.
We know that dog and pony show. But still, this is like...
this is a bad dude.
Yeah.
That's a bad dude that has had absolutely no consequences for his actions. Other than having to fork out money.
He's got the money and connections enough to buy everybody off.
And that's what the police say about this guy, that he has got so much money and he's so lawyered up that he is damn near untouchable. And these women that he involves themselves with are so subservient to him and unwilling to really press charges on him and force him to prison. Also, they all have 100 kids with the guy, so they need his money. They need him out of jail so they can live.
Yeah. Lord knows they don't want to work.
He could promise them things that they would never get any other way.
So the next time you're watching a Ranger game and you see a bearded, creepy, weird dude with a family of 78 daughters and
the very guy that probably from the first time you saw him in the first game of the year this year, you thought there was something really fishy about this.
And the spot ends with this.
Daddy's baby girl.
Think back to this segment and know exactly who that guy is.
That he's a cocaine-snorting, bedpost-wielding maniac.
Yes.
With guns.
With lots of guns.
Wow.
It's an interesting story, certainly.
All right, community quick hits are on the way.
We will say farewell to one of our dear, dear friends in the industry.
KTCK Dallas-Fort Worth, KTDK Sanger,